we're going to call November 27th Committee on Rules to order. It's approximately 1 p.m. I'd like to welcome the good Senator Johnson, the good Senator Mona Sanderson. So we have some other folks joining us. Did you want to introduce your guest?
I'm very pleased to introduce my guest. Madam Chair, this is Mary Schoenhausen, who is following me today for a class assignment. And she's a shadow for the whole day.
Mary, where are you in school?
Portland Community College.
Good. Well, good luck in your studies.
Thank you.
We're delighted to have you today.
She's also a first-time voter and a constituent.
Senator Johnson takes very good care of her constituents.
The heavy emphasis on the first-time voter. Young people do vote, contrary to all of the bad press that young people have gotten. They're very politically engaged, and there are some examples of young people being very active in their community around political issues.
I think it's great. And which campus are you at?
I go to Rock Creek.
Okay, good. All right, we're going to start out this afternoon. We're going to do the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board, then the Columbia River Gorge, then the Juvenile Psychiatric Security Review Board. We're juggling some schedules here, also people on the phones. We do understand that the weather is a little bit snowy and that folks have a ways to travel. If you need to get out of here and your name hasn't been called or you don't see your name coming up soon, send us a note up here. With that, I'm going to open a public hearing on the Fair Dismissals Appeal Board. And we've got Mr. Jeff Coleman on the phone, and I appreciate Mr. Lujan and Mr. Thiessen. Was it Thiessen?
Thiessen.
Thiessen. Come on forward. Come up to the podium, please. Mr. Coleman?
Yes.
Hi.
This is a whole
We have just opened a public hearing on the Fair Dismissals Appeals Board. I've got your colleagues, Mr. Lujan and Mr. Thiessen, at the podium. I would ask each of you to tell us a little bit about yourself and why you want to serve on the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board, and then we'll open it up to the committee for questions. So, Mr. Coleman, why don't you go ahead and get started?
Okay. My name is Jeff Coleman. I'm a language arts teacher at Rose Bumbridge Middle School in West Wynn. I teach eighth graders. I also serve my local association as the vice president. I'm on the congressional advocacy team for OEA. And one thing that I've learned over the years working in union leadership is the importance of the contractual process, and something that I'm really interested in is seeing that how that process is followed in crisis situations that would lead somebody to the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Thiessen?
My name is Leo Thiessen, and I'm a chemistry teacher at Roseburg High School. I am basically interested in serving because of the fact that a couple of friends of mine encouraged me to get involved, Larry Wolf and Karen Waters, on the OEA Board of Directors. And again, it's a situation where I've been involved in teacher advocacy for a number of years, and hadn't actually thought about this particular position until they mentioned it to me, and it sounds like an area that would be very interesting, and also the idea that to see the process, I've dealt with the process at the front half essentially, but to see the process all the way through would be of interest.
Right. Mr. Lujan.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure and an honor to be before you here. I'm John Lujan, and I reside in Kaiser, which I have a short drive, actually. I'm the director of diversity and equity at Chemeketa College. I work there for the president. I've been involved in employee-related matters all of my college life, as over 25 years from our recruitment to the termination of employees to all kinds of different matters involving the employment of employees, I think. And I've also served 6 years in Nevada on the State Board of Nursing, which I think did similar types of activities that this board might do. So I think I'm ready to serve. I just finished a stint with the Salem Chamber of Commerce Leadership Program, and they insisted that we get involved. So this is my payback.
Great. That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Great. I don't think you're going to have any questions. Mr. Thiessen, we really appreciate your willingness to drive up from Roseburg. Mr. Coleman, what's the weather like in West Marin?
Well, it was snowing for a bit, and it's dry and cold right now.
Great. All right. We really appreciate your willingness to serve on this board. It's a really important position, and it's not an easy task, but we are grateful for your willingness to take time out of your busy schedules to do this. So,
thank you
very much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman.
Thank you. Should I hang up now?
Yes, please. Or we'll cut you off.
Okay.
No. Thank you. All right. Next up, Mr. Lonnie Macy, would you come on up? And we're working on the Columbia River Gorge Commission. And we have a gavel now. So I'm going to open a public hearing on the Columbia River Gorge Commission. And welcome. Thanks for joining us today. Would you just tell us a little bit about yourself and why you'd like to serve on this particular commission?
Yes, thanks for having me. First of all, I'm from Central Oregon. I live in the Madras community, and I grew up in Warm Springs, which is about 20 miles away. My educational background is in planning. I have a bachelor's in public policy and management and a master's degree in community and regional planning. And I've worked for the Warm Springs Tribes for about 5 years now, and I've worked real closely with land use issues, both in the local community area and regional land use issues. And currently, I work for the Natural Resources Department and Governmental Policy Planning Manager, and I will be taking on a new position in December in the Planning Department. I'll be the Community and Economic Development Planner. And I'm interested in working on the Gorge Commission because they work with land use issues in an area that is of special interest, you know, to the tribes. It's generally worked for tribes. A couple of the tribes in the Warm Springs area are from, and so very keen on what goes on in the Gorge.
Great. Questions? Senator Johnson.
I do. Mr. Macy, and I really appreciate your willingness to come forward and serve on this commission, and particularly, I'm from Redmond, and so I know Central Oregon well, and I know how important the Gorge is to the tribes. This board has not been without its challenges, and I guess what I'm eager to explore with you, just to make sure that you know what you're getting into, the level sometimes of rancor and animosity that has surrounded decisions that are made in the Gorge, and just to gauge your level of awareness of what a difficult assignment this could prove to be. I'm looking for some comment from you about your willingness to undertake a very high-profile spot that is one of the more politically charged boards that the governor appoints to and the Senate confirms for.
I'm aware of some of the issues and the sensitivity various groups would have, in the way that they approach them. I would say that I have experience working with groups, near where I live. I'm on the Soil and Water Conservation District Board I'm serving there, Jefferson County. We work with people in the area, farmers and different groups that are involved with issues that the tribes are involved with, we come from our different perspectives, but I think I have the ability to find common ground. I have the ability to, diffuse, tense situations. You know, I've had experience in that, and I'm confident in my abilities to do that.
Well, I just certainly please don't read into my question anything that would be that would question your ability to do that. I think having read your vita, and I'm very satisfied that you have more than that you have more than the credentials. I just wanted to make sure that in my experience in the legislature, having chaired a committee that the budget for the Gorge Commission was heard in, and hearing very lively discussion in that committee, that you were anticipatory that this might at times be a politically charged board. That was really what I was trying to solicit. And it's clear from your response that you know that, and based on your vita and your response, I have every confidence to believe that if someone can find middle ground, it would be you. I just wanted to feel out how cognizant you were of the fact that there have been a number of issues about this commission. And I appreciate your answer very much.
Thank you. Senator Sanderson.
I guess, thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to be a little bit more direct. One of the controversial things, of course, is the casino that is wanting to locate there, and was wanting to know what your response would be in dealing with the highly political controversy that brings to the commission.
My understanding of the Gorge Commission is that it focuses on areas, outside of these kind of urban areas that are growing in the gorge. And so I don't know how involved or when those kinds of questions come up with this commission. Maybe there are situations where those issues get connected with what the commission works on. I guess at this point I didn't anticipate that would be something, I guess, that the Gorge Commission gets really involved with. But I haven't really, I'm taking the place of Roberta Kirk, who's also from Warm Springs, and I haven't really had a chance to go through and look at a file and see what more contentious issues are that they're working on, and maybe the casino comes up on occasion, but I just don't anticipate that being a big issue that they work on. Maybe it is, I'm not sure at this point.
The gorge, to me, is one of the most beautiful parts of the Northwest, and it's an icon, and I would love to see it be preserved, but I'm also realistic in knowing that there has to be some development also, and I'm looking very much forward to having your expertise and viewpoints be added to that commission.
Any questions? Okay.
I think you're off the hook at this point. You can breathe. You can breathe now. It's okay. All right. Before I close the public hearing on the Columbia River Gorge Commission, does anybody else in the audience wish to testify on this particular commission? Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Macy, and we appreciate you joining us this afternoon, particularly given the weather.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Did you come over to pass?
Yes.
Not bad.
It wasn't too bad. It's dry snow, so. Good times. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. With that, we're going to close the hearing on the public hearing on the Columbia River Gorge Commission and open a public hearing on the juvenile PSRB, commonly known as the Psychiatric Security Review Board, the juvenile panel. Mr. Burley, Dr. Johnson, Dr. McKelvey, you need Dr. Johnson on the phone. Ms. Roberts and Ms. Alba, would you all come on forward? I think there's enough chairs. Okay. All right. We'll go ahead and get started.
Right. Dr. Johnson. appreciate you all traveling to join us this afternoon. We started this about a year ago, actually it's probably been 2 years now, to actually invite folks that are serving on our boards and commissions to come before the committee and so we could spend time chatting with them. I think what we've learned is that there's an incredible amount of experience in Oregonians that are more willing to serve a huge amount of time and energy, frankly, on these boards and commissions to be the citizen part of the process. So we're just delighted you're willing to do this afternoon. Hello.
Hello.
Dr. Johnson.
Thank you.
Hi, Kate Brown, chair of the committee, and I've got a few senators in front of you. Senator Betsy Johnson, Senator Ted Ferrioli, and Senator Lori Monas Anderson. You are being piped throughout the building, so just be aware of that. And in front of me, we have a few of the folks on the Juvenile Psychiatric Security Media Board, Ms. Roberts and Ms. Alba, and we're expecting a few others. So I'll let the first two, since they've heard some other testimony, go first. Ms. Roberts, take it away. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you'd like to serve on this new project?
Well, I'm Charmaine Roberts, and I live in Portland, but I work in Washington County. I work for the Juvenile Department. I have been there for 16 years.
Can you bring the mic
a little closer? I usually don't have trouble being heard. I just wanted to be a part of something that melds two interests of mine, juvenile justice issues and juvenile advocacy issues and mental health issues, and this sounded like a really good opportunity to do that.
Okay. Hold my question. Okay. And could you tell us a little bit about your background?
I have been working at the Washington County Juvenile Department for 16 years. I do court and probation work together in a special unit that handles only kids who are referred on sexual offending matters.
Okay.
And prior to that, I worked at the Public Defenders as a paralegal for about 12 years.
Thank you. Ms. Alba.
Hi, I'm Susana Alba, and I am a lawyer. I started practicing law in 1989. I worked for a small firm in Portland. I started out doing criminal defense in state and federal court. As a matter of fact, that's how I met Senator Brown. We were both in the same firm. I am now the managing attorney at St. Andrew's Legal Clinic in Hillsborough. I practice exclusively in the area of domestic relations. Our clinic represents low-income clients. We work on a sliding scale depending on folks' incomes, and we also do a number of pro bono cases. I have been doing family law since approximately 91, 92. I'm originally from Cuba. Spanish is my first language. Since coming to the Hillsborough office, St. Andrew's office, we obtained a grant from the Oregon Law Foundation to expand services to the Latino community in Hillsborough and to expand services to Columbia County low-income clients. So I am now practicing in Columbia County and in Washington County. I've also taken a case in Yamhill County because I can't say no when people are in need. While we do not represent we do not handle juvenile cases, a lot of our cases involve custody. A lot of our cases involve children. I would say that 85% of the cases the clinic handles involve custody. And through that process, I have become exposed to the issues affecting kids in dysfunctional families. And I have seen not only what impact that has on the children, but I've also seen the impact of the children going through the juvenile court system or through DHS, the impact that has on families and how that can really break families apart. I have a particular interest in working with the Latino community and thought that I could bring, I've lived in many different places and I have a lot of, I've been exposed to a number of different cultures, and I thought that I could bring my legal background as well as my cultural experiences to this board.
Thank you.
On the phone, we have Dr. Eric Johnson. Dr. Johnson, could you tell us a little bit about your background and like when, why you are interested in serving on the juvenile panel of the Psychiatric Security Review Board?
I'd be happy to. I'm a licensed and board-certified psychologist. I did my internship and residency in child and family science. My early career was in community mental health, and my last employment position was executive director of Morrison Center, which is one of Oregon's oldest and largest providers of child and family treatment services. In all of my community health placements, I worked with juvenile justice services, and while at Morrison Center, I headed up the mental health services at McLaren and Hillcrest Youth Correction Facility, and was subsequently hired there as a consultant for approximately 7 years. Since 1993, I've been in full-time private practice as a forensic psychologist, and I have been specializing in risk assessments and evaluations of youth and adults who are charged with a variety of different offenses, primarily Measure 11 offenses. My interest in the juvenile PSRB is because of my unique background in terms of mental health, juvenile justice, and chemical dependency services, and because of my interest in making sure that these youth not only get the proper care and services they need, but to ensure community safety.
Thank you. And could you introduce yourself, sir?
Oh, I'm Dr. Bob McKelvey.
And could you tell us a little bit about your background and why you'd like to serve on the juvenile panel of the Psychiatric Security Review Board?
I'm a child psychiatrist. I'm the director of child psychiatry at OHSU. And I've had, of course, a lot of experience working with children, adolescents, and families. My experience in forensic psychiatry is more limited. I've done a lot of child custody work as a court-appointed expert, and I've worked with a number of children who have passed through or about to pass through the juvenile justice system. I think what really interests me in this kind of work are several variables. One of them is just the intellectual interest of trying to understand more about the problems that lead kids with mental illnesses into the juvenile justice system. Another has to do with some personal experiences. One of them was with a young man who I did a consultation on at Dornbecker, who had been accused of shooting a policeman. And the thing that was both very sad and very interesting about this case was that this was a kid who'd been really a good boy for most of his life and then had a psychotic breakdown, and because of his psychosis, which was of fairly brief duration, had become very paranoid. And so when the policeman appeared, he reacted in a way which was quite uncharacteristic for him. And to me, that's a very interesting and kind of sad example of how things can go wrong. The other thing that motivates me, being a little older, is that I've seen that the opportunities that are available to many people who live in our society, particularly people who come from ethnic minorities, are not nearly as good as those which are presented to people like me, and that because of that, I think those kids are at much greater risk for ending up getting treatment too late and then ending up, unfortunately, in the juvenile justice system, as opposed to kids with more opportunities who may get more treatment and end up in psychiatric hospitals instead. So those are some of the things that motivate me to want to do this.
And Mr. Burley? Okay, all right, that's okay. We'll go ahead and do questions. Questions from the panel.
Sam Johnson?
A comment. I so appreciate the extension of St. Andrew's services into Columbia County. I have the privilege of representing Columbia County, and there has been a dearth of access for low-income folks to legal services. St. Andrew's provides a wonderful service in all your locations, and the fact that you've expanded into Columbia County is a great gift to folks that live out there with limited access, so thank you.
We are going to start a monthly night clinic, which we're going to be using the legal aid space, where we will meet with, we normally schedule about 20 clients per night. I will be the supervising attorney for that. So starting January, we will be out there once a month to do intake. So we're very excited.
Good. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Sam Farrell, any questions?
No.
Just a comment. I really do think that the state of Oregon needs to address mental health issues far more seriously than they have in the past, and I think we've begun to take some very important steps in that regard, because so many of our youth are falling through the cracks because of ignorance, because of shame by the family, because of lack of knowledge. And there's so much new technology and medicines, et cetera, that these kids can, with help, can be very productive laws instead of turning toward crime and drugs, which is just a form of relief from the torment that's happening inside them. So I wish we could do away with psychiatric review boards and start addressing more the prevention at the very, very early on, so we wouldn't have to have it. But I'm glad you're willing to serve.
I, too, add my appreciation. I was involved with the drafting of the legislation, and this is turning into a six-year project. We still need to address the developmentally delayed population in bill, hopefully, this session. So I just really appreciate your willingness to participate. Again, this is new, and you guys are going to be the first on board, so we really appreciate it. So I think you're in good hands. Anything else from the committee? Senator, you're awfully quiet today.
Chair, I have spent the last 15 hours in the labor department at Sacred Heart General Hospital with my daughter.
She
delivered a baby boy, Cyril James. He is 18 inches and 7 pounds, 2 ounces.
Congratulations.
Fine.
And you are, this is a first-time grandfather. Second? Okay. Holy smokes. Congratulations.
I'm a little subdued.
Okay.
I mean, the love is seeming on placid exterior and not seething.
All right.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Senator Johnson.
Dr. McKelvey, I noticed in looking at your vita a number of references to travel in Vietnam, and I'm trying to rack my brain to remember. You have developed a body of expertise in relocation, have you not? I'm trying to make sure I'm thinking of the right physician. Were you not working with some Asian populations, the Hmong and others?
I haven't done a little work with the Hmong, but I got interested in Vietnam, especially when I was in the Marine Corps prior to going to medical school, and they taught me Vietnamese, which was nice of them. And I have done a lot of research work both on populations of Vietnamese and Eurasians who were the children of American citizens, but also Vietnamese kids who were pure Vietnamese, so to speak, and also how the migration experience affects their mental health. That's been an interest of mine.
And I just wanted to make sure I had the same physician. There was a television special, I think, on some of your work, or you were profiled in a magazine. This was pioneering work, as I recall, that you and OHSU were responsible for doing.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm the guy you're thinking of, but it
I'm sure it is now that I've heard your answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I think we're out of questions. Thank you all very much. We really appreciate your time. Thank you, Dr. Johnson.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your willingness to be available.
Pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll temporarily close the hearing on the Juvenile Psychiatric Review Board and open a hearing on the Quality Education Commission. Quality Education Commission, and invite Mr. Backlund forward. Okay. And did you want your chair, the chair from Coos Bay, to come on up?
That would be good.
Okay. Oh. How are you, Chair Massey? Good to see you. Thank you. Good to see you, former Representative Backlund.
Well,
welcome
thank you very
to
much
your
much
Senate
much.
Committee on Rules.
Yes, it's fun to be here, and I'm looking forward to what will transpire in this hearing. So,
why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you'd like to serve on this committee?
Thank you. My name is Nick Backlund. I live at 703 Castle Pines Drive North in Kaiser. And when I came down to the Capitol, the snow was sticking. So whether it was wet or dry, it was sticking. So it was, and it's much, much wetter down here in the city here. Well, I'm delighted the governor has appointed me to the Quality Education Commission because I would say basically education has been my passion and has been something that I've been involved in virtually my entire adult life. I was a high school teacher for 37 years before retiring from teaching. I also was a 37-year high school coach. My specialty, I guess, was baseball. I also had the privilege of being the chair of the House Education Commission, Committee, in both the 2001 and the 2003 legislative sessions. So, to sum that up, I guess I believe that my background in education and my interest in education qualifies me for a position on the Quality Education Commission. And I'm very hopeful that that I would be, if confirmed, an effective and contributing member of the Quality Education Commission. And I might add, too, that I am absolutely delighted and astounded that that Susan has come up all the way from Coos Bay to support my my appearance in this hearing. And it was a surprise that she did that, but I'm delighted.
Thank you. Did we do questions yet? No. Chair Massey, do you wish to add anything since you've driven all the way from Coos Bay? I'm sure you were just adding a little Christmas holiday shopping on the side, but
really, I thought Vic needed all the help
we could get.
No, that's absolutely not true. I would like to have this committee know how delighted the commission is to consider that Vic might be one of our members. And I was happy to drive in his support and hope to share some more information with him after this hearing about what the committee is up to. And I look forward also as chair of that commission to sharing with you during the session and being partners with you to see what we can do to help children in the education system. Thank you, and thank you for allowing me to speak.
Questions? Just comments. So, Monica,
I have such respect for former Representative Backlund and Sue, because I worked with Sue Susan and with the Oregon School Boards Association when I served on that committee, and I rely on your expertise and your input because you're so knowledgeable and so gifted, and I truly want to thank you for serving. And with talented people like you, hopefully we're going to be able to be quite productive in what comes out of that commission.
Thank you. Any questions? No? Senator Farrelly and his grandfatherly yes. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and we really appreciate your willingness to serve the state in this capacity.
Thank you very much.
And Chair Massey, thanks for driving. Holy smokes.
Here's mine.
Okay. All right. Anybody else wishing to testify on this appointee to the Quality Education Commission?
Seeing nobody jumping up and down, I'm going to close that public hearing, open a public hearing on the Lane Transit District Board, and invite Mr. Dubik and Mr. Evans. Did I get those names right? I'm a phonics speller.
Perfect.
Okay. Welcome. How are you this afternoon?
Well, wet.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves and why you'd like to serve on this board.
Mike? My name is Michael Dubik. I live in Crestwood, Oregon, and have for most of the last 26 years. I am just coming up on about 30 years in public education as a teacher, counselor, and administrator. And I was thinking forward to what I could do to give back to the community once I had left full-time employment and when this opportunity came up. And I really do wish to continue to make contributions even after leaving education, and saw this as a great opportunity. I have for a number of years been involved in public policy on the Crestwood City Council and the South End Wheels Board, which used to be Senior Wheels, and also the Lane Community College Board for 5 years. And so I feel like I have something to contribute to the board. The other thing is that I really do feel that Lane Transit is performing a great function right now, an important function. I am a great believer in mass transit, and especially as Lane County continues to grow and the population continues to rise, I think that what the LTD is going to fill an even larger role so that we maintain alternatives to the automobile in not only the urban areas but in the rural areas that I will be representing. So I think this is will be a great opportunity and a chance for me to serve and a chance for me to contribute.
Thank you. Mr. Evans.
I'd like to thank the committee for this opportunity to see you this afternoon. My background is pretty well grounded in transit. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. I've been a resident of Oregon for the last 21 years, but I grew up as a son of a single parent, and my mother's chief transportation source was the RTA in Cleveland. And so for the first 23 years of my life, I spent it on the bus, going to school, shopping, whatever. So I didn't own a car until I was 23. And when I moved to Oregon 21 years ago, I continued to use mass transit and use Lane Transit District when I moved to Eugene. And then I was hired as a customer service rep for Lane Transit, which I served there for 2.5 years, and went on to work at U.S. Bank as a personal banker and loan officer for 4 years. And for the last 12 years, I've been in higher education, serving as a member of the faculty at Lane Community College. In my background, I've been involved in the NAACP in Oregon and Washington. I served 4 years as state president of the NAACP for Oregon and Washington. Also served on the City of Eugene Planning Commission for 3 years, as well as a number of other boards and commissions and committees, both on a local level, regional level, and national level. And I continue to be a consumer of mass transit to this day, and look forward to the opportunity to serve it on this board and to represent people who are like me, who came up and had to ride the bus and got an intimate knowledge of the transit system and its workings, and be able to represent those individuals and those folks in my community that don't necessarily have a voice. So, there you have it.
I read an article over the weekend on a plan for Lane Transit. Is either one of you familiar? And it wasn't light rail, but it was an intense bus system. Are either one of you familiar with what the plan is in terms of getting folks?
DMX system. Couple of different routes that are going to be coming online shortly. One going from Springfield over into Eugene back and forth, and also the MX line that will be traveling from downtown Springfield on out to what would be the new Sacred Heart Hospital, and hopefully a third line that will alleviate some of the traffic congestion going out to the West Eugene area, which is the area that I will be representing as well. So it's bus rapid transit. It's a way of expediting commuters in a much more efficient manor and
bus-only lanes,
and a vehicle that is kind of what do you want to call it, Mike? A bus on steroids.
We had the opportunity to ride it at the last meeting. We both attended the last LTD board meeting, and it is really a great ride. It's a way for the bus and the automobile to share the same space, and to the improvement of both, I think, and the I think that people are really going to appreciate it, and it's going to make that trip for the bus riders a whole lot nicer.
Great. Well, we look forward to seeing the impacts of all the efforts. Sarah Monson, any questions? No questions on this side? Senator Farrell only.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was wondering if Mr. Dubik could give me more information about his service on the Crestwell City Council.
Well, since I followed Ted on the Crestwell City Council, I stuck around until actually I was the mayor from 01 to 03. I served on the Crestwell City Council from 1989 to 2001. A great opportunity. The town is, well, if you've been back, I mean, you can just see how much it's grown. And in terms of, you know, from the public policy position, you know, to try to manage that growth in a positive way, and to make the transition from a mill town to a bedroom community is probably the most appropriate. And now we're starting to see with the increased population, increased retail. We have a Bi-Mart now. it was a great opportunity to be on the Crestwell City Council. I learned an awful lot about from some very great people about how to properly deal with public policy issues as they came up, and it was a great learning experience for me, and I think I gave something back to them.
Yes, Madam Chair, I just regret the fact that Mr. Dubik and I did not have a chance to serve on the same council at the same time.
Thank you.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much. Senator Johnson, anything?
No, thank you.
Thanks to both of you for your willingness to serve on this board, and I'm sure it'll keep you off the streets and out of trouble, both of you. So.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else wishing to testify on the Lane Transit District Board? All right. With that, we're going to close the public hearing.
Let's go back and finish. I think Mr. Burley's here.
Mr. Burley, do you want to come up? We'll finish up the Juvenile Psychiatric Security Review Board panel. Thanks. I know you had quite the drive as well.
It was fun.
Good. I'm glad.
Newport, it was sunny. When I got to Sheridan, it was snowing. Nice contrast.
Would you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you'd like to serve on this particular board?
Okay. I've been involved in psychiatric day treatment for about 22 years. I'm the executive director of the Olala Center, which is a psychiatric day treatment program for young kids in the Toledo-Newport area. I knew this question was coming, and I would think to myself, why is it that I jumped in at that particular moment? I guess the simplest thing for me to say is I believe in good mental health treatment, and I think that good mental health treatment runs a spectrum, and at one end of the spectrum is keeping individuals and the public safe, and at the other end of the spectrum is giving individuals the hope of recovery, and So at the moment that the email caught my attention, I thought to myself, if this is to work, I think there need to be a lot of different kinds of voices. And I guess I thought it was an opportunity just to do some good work. And, you know, it's corny. I know it's corny. I was seized with a moment of idealism, and here I am.
Thank you. If you were king for a day, what single most important issue do you think is facing our juvenile mental health system? What would you do to fix it?
Wow, that's a good one. King for a day, services, availability of trained professionals. In my area especially, there are
just a huge problem, isn't it?
Huge problem. And involving on kind of a statewide basis, which I know the Mental Health Division is interested in doing, but involving parents and letting parents know that recovery is possible. It may take some work. I was instrumental in bringing Dr. Daniel Fisher to the coast. I don't know if you know Dr. Fisher, but Dr. Fisher is a psychiatrist who is himself recovering from mental illness and just is a very inspirational kind of guy. And I think it's important that individuals understand, while they may have to do a lot of different kinds of tasks, therapy can be very involved for some people, that there's the hope out there of recovery.
How many beds at your facility?
It's a day treatment.
That's right. Obviously, no beds. How many slots then? I was thinking beds.
A maximum of 17.
Okay. And if you had unlimited resources, how many slots do you think you'd need?
In our county, I sat down with the director of special education a couple of months ago, and the director of special education, a lady named Susan Van Loo, said to me that she thought there were something like 800 kids in the Lincoln County area that required special education. How many of those would require mental health services? She and I were guesstimating at between 70 and 80.
Thank you. Questions, Senator Sanderson? Senator Johnson?
Just a comment. I was very taken by your observation about the juxtaposition of keeping people safe but offering the hope of recovery. That was made particularly meaningful to me in touring an OYA facility in my district, and this juxtaposition between public safety and yet not just throwing people away without the hope of recovery. You said everything that I needed to hear in that one sentence, and I said to a couple of the other people out in the hall, and I'll say it again now on the record, it seems to me that this group of people that are coming forward for appointment to this board is really a remarkably gifted group, and we as Oregonians are extremely fortunate for your willingness to serve. I think this is one of the most distinguished group of Oregonians that I've seen come before the Senate for confirmation. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Some years ago, I had an experience, and it was just such a powerful experience for me. A set of parents, pretty highly educated parents, motivated parents, came into our program, and they didn't know what was wrong with their child. And over a period of 3 or 4 months, we confirmed the diagnosis and told them the diagnosis. And I was so happy to tell them that. I was so happy to say, now we've got something to work on. We're going in a direction. And one of the parents said to me, you know, on the one hand, thanks, but, you know, gosh, this looks like it's lifelong. And, you know, that is a hard realization for folks. And we would hope that we could show them that wasn't as frightening an idea as it was to this parent a long time ago. It's but you can understand that it's just awesome to some folks. Thank you.
It sort of capsulized the whole point of the juvenile psychiatric security movement, so thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate your willingness to serve.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sorry I was late.
And no problem.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Okay, last chance on the juvenile panel of the Psychiatric Security Review Board. Seeing no other takers, we're going to close that public hearing then move on to the Board of Naturopathic Examiners. Mr. Yin Kang Hu, would you please come forward? Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Now that you've seen everybody, this doesn't look so frightening, does it?
No, no.
Okay. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you'd like to serve on this board?
My name is Yin Kang Hu, and I'm an attorney in private practice in Portland, Oregon. I'm interested in serving this board because I've always been interested in issues relating to law and science. Prior to entering law school, I obtained a PhD in biochemistry from OHSU, and my practice has been always been focused on issues relating to law and science, especially intellectual property issues and regulatory issues associated with the biotechnology industry. And I think serving on the board is a good opportunity for me to do that, and I believe I can learn a lot from the board, and at the same time I also believe that I have a lot to contribute to the board. So I look forward to serving on the board and serving the people of Oregon.
Great. Thank you. Sarah Morris Anderson.
Thank you. I had the pleasure of two of the naturopathic physicians in Goshen invited me to coffee and to learn a little bit more. Being a nurse, you know, I've got that medical model, but I firmly believe that naturopathic medicine is a growing profession and a much needed profession to treat so many of the people. So I look forward to getting some good input from you on this commission.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? Okay. I think you're up to her. We really appreciate your willingness to serve on this board. And
my pleasure. Thank you.
More Lewis and Clark law grads out there, the good thing. All right. Anybody else wishing to testify on this appointment to the Board of Naturopathic Examiners? That we're going to close the public hearing. Let's put a public hearing on the Board of Nursing. Ms. Urbelow.
Welcome. Thank you. I appreciate the correct pronunciation of my last name.
I've had many years of practice. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you'd like to serve on the board?
Sure. I'm Becca Urbelow, and I'm a Portland resident. I grew up in Southern Oregon. I currently work in communications, but I'm the former executive director of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Oregon. I'd like to join the board because my mother, who's a former nurse,
and a former legislator, for those of you who are too young to remember,
you know, really built an appreciation for the nursing profession, and I have a general interest in healthcare delivery. I'm a new mom, and I want to ensure that everyone has access to the quality patient care that I received just 11 months ago, actually, tomorrow. So I want to use my service on the board for that purpose. I also participated in the caregiving for my grandmother before she entered a facility, and so I'm very interested in long-term care and know full well that nursing professionals play a critical role in that. So I hope to use my service as a public member on the board to advocate from a consumer, a healthcare consumer perspective.
Great. And you are not a nurse and have not been trained as a nurse, correct?
That's exactly true.
Okay. All right. Questions from the nurse. Senator Mattis Anderson.
Isn't your technical
answer? No, not at all. I'm very glad to see someone non-nursing, although you really do have a nursing background with your there has been some controversy with the Board of Nursing, and I want to make sure that you're very aware of the task at hand. There's been allegations, and they've been working it through, and I think have been doing wonderful work in addressing some of the concerns that certain people have had regarding the Board of Nursing. Do you have any comments about that, or do you know much about
it? Sure, I know peripherally just the background. I also know that one of the primary roles of members of the Board of Nursing is in the area of discipline, which I believe where the controversy stems. I also understand that the governor is looking at putting some more dollars to hire more investigators in terms of, you know, the mission of the board is to keep the public safe, health and well-being of patients, and certainly the Board of Nursing plays a critical role in that. And you're right, they've done an incredible job. You know, I think it was an isolated incident that they were that the press got a hold of, and I look forward to, you know, helping them through that.
Thank you.
One question. Senator Johnson, thank you.
More a comment. I'm delighted that you're going to represent the voice of the consumer, if confirmed, at this hour, and that's why I've been popping in and out. I have a family member who's being released from the hospital following two very significant brain surgeries, and it has given me tremendous respect and appreciation, more so than I had prior to this long hospitalization, for the it can't be overstated the role that nursing plays in the whole continuum of interaction with the patient. And we have been so deeply indebted for the fine quality of nursing care at OHSU. But having that voice of the consumer, the person who is frequently faced with a cold and personal hospital situation, particularly in huge institutions, and to know that there's someone there speaking from the consumer perspective on the board, I think is invaluable. So I just appreciate your service as representing the consumer world right at this moment. I think it's a very good thing to have a public member on the board, and thank you for putting heavy emphasis on the consumer.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate you joining us. We'll let you get home to your baby.
Thanks so much.
All right. Anybody else wishing to testify on the Board of Nursing? And with that, we're going to close the public hearing. Move to open the public hearing on the youth outdoor. What is this? Outdoor Youth Program Advisory Board. And Mr. Hickey, why don't you come on up? Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. My name's Gordon Hickey, and a close friend of mine is Peter Green. He's on this commission and encouraged me to see about serving, so I'm excited to do that. My background is I'm a parent of two great kids, and also I taught for 18 years, and I was a school administrator for the past 13 years, and recently retired in July, so Peter says, I have a lot more time now, and I hope that I can serve, but my wife has me back substitute teaching and covering in for principal friends and colleagues. But I'm excited to serve on this commission because I've always been an outdoorsman and started hiking when I was 4 and 5 years old. And I still rock climb, mountain climb, and backcountry ski, and mountain bike, anything like that. But for the last 10, 12 years, I've worked with a high school group of students. We've been connected with some Zalmas, and I've just seen very positive things happening with high school kids, especially who have structured experience that's in the outdoors. So I see the value of our commission that might allow students to, or young people to have these similar experiences to reach their potential and develop skills.
The outdoor school, I know at the Portland Middle School, has been a huge hit. So.
Right, I did that for a while too.
Good. Questions? Looks like you're off the hook. Are you still rock climbing or something?
Yeah,
great.
I took some high school kids a couple weeks, about 3-4 weeks ago to Smith Rocks, and had a great time. I can't keep up with them. They're much faster, but as long as you're driving and you belay them, and, they'll let you climb with them.
The question is, do you let them belay you?
I make sure they do it right.
Okay.
You want to hit the ground.
No, not from Smith Rock. Thank you very much. Well, thank you, and we appreciate particularly your newly found free time that you're willing to devote some of it to the state. That's really important. So.
Looking forward to it.
But make sure you enjoy some of that time as well.
Right. I have to talk to my wife about that. The honeydew list.
Like, have her call me. I'm sure I can help. All right. Anybody else wishing to testify on the Outdoor Youth Program Advisory Board? All right. Close the public hearing. We'll go to public hearing on the Commission for Hispanic Affairs. Ms. Casares. Come on up. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, too.
I've been busy. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you want to serve on this commission.
Sure. My name is Lindy Cáceres. I'm the Minority Services Hispanic Coordinator at the Oregon Youth Authority. I've been with OIA for about almost 6 years. Prior to that, I did work for DMV for about 13 years. I'm originally from Lima, Peru. I feel very fortunate to be in this great country of the United States. I never thought I was going to come, and so it just happened from one day to the next, pretty much. And so I came here without speaking one word of English. It's been a challenge, and especially when you're too old to learn another language, it is certainly a big challenge, but I feel very happy, very fortunate to be here. And being here especially is unreal, I think. I would have never imagined many of my wildest dreams that I would be here today before you all. So thank you for the opportunity. And serving on the commission would give me, of course, the great opportunity, and it would be an honor to continue to work for the Hispanic community, Hispanic and Latino community. Actually, I like to serve everybody. I like to work with everybody, and to me, teamwork is sort of a second nature. That's how we were brought up in South America. That's what my parents believe in, and so that's something that is very much part of me. And in that capacity, I would like to work on behalf of the Hispanic community, the Latino community in Oregon, and thus help ensure that we will have a greater access to and benefit from any other opportunities that we as a state provides to everyone who comes here. It would be a great honor to do that.
Great. Thank you. Anything?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Immigration is a huge political controversy in this nation, and I'm very, very much aware of how employers need our illegals, yet the federal government isn't really yet willing to address the issue. Do you have any comments on the immigration issue?
It is a complex issue. It is a challenge for all involved, I think. And I do take care of the, I am the point of contact for immigration-related services for the Oregon Youth Authority, so I'm somewhat versed in those issues. I do work with community-based organizations who provide legal advice. Nowadays, and also I am the main point of contact for translation and interpretation services for the Oregon Youth Authority. And regarding the immigration issue, yes, it is a huge challenge, but I think working together, trying to solve issues, we can benefit from doing that. And it is important nowadays to seek legal advice, they say. In the past, you could do your own transactions, you could fill out forms, go to the immigration offices and take care of that. I'm quite familiar with that process, but nowadays it is so complex and things are changing so rapidly that you need to seek legal advice to see what your options are. And who knows if the federal government, you know, has some expectations, and those of us, especially state agencies, receive federal funding, there are some expectations that need to be met, but there are also options that can be explored. It's usually on a case-by-case basis. One case is not the same like the next one you will hear about.
Just to follow up on that, we don't know really how many illegal children there are, but I know that if they are here, and I assume there are some, you know, I'm looking at health care, which is when we start denying services to humans, to me that is in law, and I am very interested in what maybe the commission, if they would have any input on things like health care services for our illegal children in particular.
It is my understanding, Governor Golongoski was at the Governor Summit on Minority Representation in the Juvenile Justice System event last Monday. He mentioned there that he will make sure, if I don't recall wrong, that he will provide health insurance to all children. He didn't say whether the children had to be documented or undocumented. My understanding was that he wanted to make sure that the children were not left out of the those benefits, I guess.
Did you aware of it?
I want to talk a little bit about the board and what your philosophy of governance is with respect to the oversight of the board. The commission has struggled in the past with fiscal issues,
mm-hmm.
and I think lost some credibility in this building. And I wanted, first of all, to gauge your awareness of that situation, and then just to hear a little bit from you on your basic philosophy of governance and what you see the role of the appointed commission members is with respect to making sure that there's fiscal integrity and, mm-hmm. and appropriate best practices for governance in place.
Yes. My philosophy is that, first of all, we have to work as a team. We have to work together. We will be held accountable. I guess that's my expectation. And the expectations have to be clearly stated, I think, from the very beginning, from the onset. We are reactivating this commission after a long hiatus. And we all have to be very responsible when we are dealing with public funds and always look for what's best for the public interest, I guess, or the common good. And I have heard that there were some issues in the past, but I think we need to be there for each other and help each other. If somebody is not doing what he or she is supposed to be doing, then the other members ought to say something or do something. Ever since I came to this country, I admired, I wanted to work so much for the government of the United States, in whatever capacity, state government, federal government, local, and I don't know why, I just wanted to work for the government, and coming here, it was like being born again, like going to another country, to another planet. So I had to learn things little by little. It took a few years to learn about how the system works and so on and so forth. I think until finally, was hired by DNB. And through that agency and through so many organizations that I serve on, or preside or chair or serve on, I have come to realize or to learn a lot more about the government of the United States, not only federal but local and other governments also. And it is very important to not only work hard to meet the expectations that whoever you're working for has, but to exceed and to do an excellent job wherever you go. But most of all, I think to stop thinking of yourself a little more and think of others a little more, I would say. And I don't think that will be an issue this time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank
you very much. We really appreciate your willingness to serve on this commission.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else wishing to testify on this appointment to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs? That we're going to close the public hearing, open a public hearing on the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, and invite Dr. Stephen Koch. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Welcome.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you want to serve on this board.
Sure. My name is Steve Koch. I'm a chiropractor here in Salem. And I graduated from chiropractic college in 1980 and practiced in Atlanta, where I went to school for a while. Then I moved on to a small town south of here called Beverly Hills and was there for 10 years and didn't fit in. I'm a Michigander and looked for someplace else more sane, and I've been an Oregonian for the past dozen years, loving it up here. I've always been involved in politics to some degree, whether it was as class president or in California. I worked with the chiropractic board as an exam commissioner giving exams, and was they didn't have a peer review committee, but I was one of their peer review agents, or whatever they call them. You worked as individuals. Here they have a committee, and I've been working with the peer review committee of the Oregon Board of Chiropractic Examiners, and I'm the chairman of that board. And my parents are both public servants back in Michigan, so I was always raised with this concept of that you give back to the community and to your profession, or whoever's serving you, you help and give back. And I always thought at some point I wanted to be involved in the state board of chiropractic where I was practicing. My career and
practice are at that point where it's the next logical step to get involved. Like I said, I've been working with the current board and I found a lot of level heads and some functional people working there, and I've been working with this chair, the chair of the peer review committee, and want to get more involved. So this opportunity came up to apply, so I did.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Questions?
Just one.
Sarah Sanderson, go ahead.
There's always a, there always seems to be a conflict between two schools of chiropractors.
You notice.
Yes. Can you give me any insight to why that is?
Yeah, this is all my opinion, my take. It kind of comes down to fundamentalism. When you have people who believe that they have the right way and it's the only way, and they're not willing to communicate and allow the respect that other people have varying opinions, then heads start clashing. I'm more of a uniter. As the chairman of peer review committee, I've worked to bring in people from the minority school of thought into the peer review committee to get them involved and have them be in the process and seeing the whole picture to be actively as part of it. My personal approach is to get people to figure out where they have to give in and come to some type of consensus. And so everyone's going to lose a little, everyone's going to be a little unhappy, but a win-win in the end for everybody. But I think that the problem is national. The problem, it gets played out on the local level. Mm-hmm. But it's really national, and it's changing. I've done some research into this and seen that some states have united their organizations and have resolved their differences and gone on to present a united front. I think that we need that here. That would be one of my intentions. I know it's a big fish to fry or whatever, but maybe I'm just part of this next generation, even though I'm not young. But you know, we're seeing that this has to change. I'm embarrassed by the way that these people fight. It's like Hatfields and McCoys, or mm-hmm. you know, some old feud, and people just can't get over it. Some type of turf gang warfare, and it's time to put those differences aside. And it might not be my lifetime, but I'm seeing that it's changing and it's shifting. And on a national level, it's shifting too, and hopefully it won't be an issue in the decades to come, and I hope it happens quicker than that, though.
I appreciate your input.
Yes.
Sarah Johnson.
Thank you. Senator Mara Sanderson asked the question that I told you when you called me I was going to ask, so I'm going to nuance it a little bit first. What do you think the role of the executive director of the agency ought to be in fixing this? Because I agree with you. You used the word embarrassed. I think the whole profession is embarrassed by what's been going on, and the degree of credibility that has eroded in this building is startling. This feud has spilled over into every one of our offices. I think I can say every one of them. Most of the people I've talked to have had it roiling out in our waiting areas or in our offices. And it's getting to the point where I think many people in the building want to just say a pox on all of them. The feud has been going on for a long time, and none of us have seen it abate. And I would like your take on what you think the role of the executive of the commission ought to be with respect the board with respect to fixing this.
I think it should become a priority, and whether it becomes regular meetings, communications, getting the people in a room together and finding out where the differences are and figuring out where we can meet. The executive director is in a good position to have everybody's ear and can be the great uniter of the whole thing. It's a big task, but it's got to start small and get people to drop those differences. I think the executive director can take a big role in that. Although I don't know politically if there's some problem with that, because I don't have a definition of what his job is or what's been. I don't know everything that's been done in the past, but that's just my opinion. I'd like to see everyone who's in the picture get involved and come to some type of resolution with this.
You've given a stunningly diplomatic answer. let me be clear so there's no mistake about where I am on this. Should the board hold the executive director responsible or accountable if this isn't fixed in some finite period of time?
Well, my first answer that comes to mind is no, because it's a way, it's, like I said, it's a national issue. It's a way bigger issue than just for to be on one person's neck like that. I think in principle, yes, the executive director should be responsible, the president of the board should be responsible, and the chiropractor author should be responsible. And I'm not trying to be diplomatic and blow smoke here, but I think we all should be responsible. I don't belong to either organization, because until they unite, I don't want to give my money to either one that's spending time fighting each other. If they were to unite, I'd be a big supporter of them. I think we all have the responsibility, and maybe the executive director has even more, but I don't want to put his neck on the line like with a time lock or something, but I don't think that'd be fair. In this case, it's like, you know, trying to, you know, unite the shimmies and sinners in the shia or something. It's a long-standing problem. And
thank you, Madam Chair. I think this nominee, if confirmed, is going to be an excellent addition to this board. For the benefit of the entire profession, this has got to end.
All right. I think you're off the hook.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you joining us. Anybody else wishing to testify on Dr. Koch's appointment to the Board of Chiropractic Examiners? No. With that, we're going to close the public hearing. We will open a public hearing on the Home Care Commission. Invite Mr. Easton up. And thanks for being patient. We're doing pretty well. We're moving along.
Thanks.
How are you? Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you'd like to serve on this board, other than we're probably all going to be there at some point, we hope. So.
My name is Joe Easton. I live in Clackamas, Oregon. I am currently the program manager with the In-Home Services Unit with the Office of Senior and People with Disabilities. I'm interested in serving on the Home Care Commission, as I believe the Home Care Commission needs to balance the goal of developing a professional, reliable, and stable workforce, and at the same time ensuring that consumers have the choices that they want to remain in their home and to be independent and as safe as possible.
Thank you. Questions?
It's a huge issue. I mean, home care, Oregon, I think, is actually on the cutting edge. When I talk to my colleagues back east, where so many more are in actually nursing homes, but I still get a little nervous regarding how we're going to take care of all of our elderly that want to stay in their homes. We need to look at services so that they can, because it's obviously the cheapest way, whether it's assisted living, foster care.
Well, it's a huge issue, and I think one thing you have to look at is, what is the prevention? What can we have people do when they're younger to start saving for this type of care? You know, looking for insurance companies to have some sort of long-term care plans. And again, the people staying in their homes is by far the cheapest way to serve clients. And studies have shown that it's the first choice for consumers and their families. But again, this is going to be an issue that's just going to continue to grow, especially in Oregon, with our senior population growing so fast.
Well, I hope that the commission will really maybe be very creative on advising even the legislature on what Oregon as a state can do, let alone maybe directing the various nonprofit agencies that are involved in this also.
I agree with Senator Marlon Sanderson that we're probably at the cutting edge, but my question to you is, do you think we are doing enough? And, you know, if you were king, what would you be doing at this point to prepare for our growing senior population?
I think we need to look at how we can fill health care costs in the future. It was just eating up such a huge part of the budget where we're getting to the point where we won't be able to continue with the federal waivers and offer our serious choices, where it'll come down again to what the federal government will pay for. And at this point, it is nursing facilities, and that's the most costly.
Doesn't make sense at all financially.
Desirable choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what role do you think consumers have to play in the prevention end? You know, cigarette smoking, eating right, exercise. You know, how do we deal with that as a state?
I think we've done a pretty good job at making resources available to seniors through an independent living centers, senior centers, where we can help them become more active and understand that what we do really language does have direct consequences on our health and safety as we age.
Thank you. Any other questions? I think you're off the hook.
Great.
We'll look forward to you solving our long-term care system problems.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to testify on the Home Care Commission board?
Is it a board?
Commission. All right. Seeing no volunteers. All right. We're going to open up the electric and elevator board, the safety board. And Mr. Fahey, why don't you come on up? And no relationship to the former House member, Mike Fahey, I take it. You haven't lived in Oregon that long, have you?
No.
Okay.
Brother Mike Fahey, but...
Not the one living here in Oregon. Okay. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and why you want to serve on this board?
I've been a property and casualty field underwriter for the past few years and worked for State Farm as an underwriter in some capacity, going on 12 years. I've seen the results a lot of times of electrical systems not properly, especially in rural Alaska where I just came from. And somebody said something about snow, but I haven't seen any today.
Where are you in rural Alaska?
Well, I covered the whole state, and so outside of Fairbanks,
okay.
If you just draw circles around city limits outside, there's really no code at work or code enforcement. And so it was interesting to see what happens when there's not somebody watchdogging some of these issues. I live over in West Salem. I'm the father of four kids. Safety is professionally important to me, but more personally important to me. And every fire, particularly, or injury we can prevent, that's a good thing.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Fahey? Sir Johnson.
I have two. The first one is, if I remember your paperwork correctly, and I'm going to have to look to just refresh my memory, you said something at the end of your little written thing about conflict of interest and the resolution of conflict of interest.
Conflict of interest.
One area of inquiry would be whether you or your spouse may have a conflict of interest between private life and public service. I wasn't sure that I understood what that meant.
Oh, I don't believe I do. I'm not
okay.
Familiar with that.
Okay, that's cool. And the second question is, does your brother know anything about helicopters?
Interesting. I had another brother, Kevin, that was a helicopter mechanic at one point in the military.
Oh, I was just curious, because there's a Mike Fahey, who's the chief executive officer of Columbia Helicopters, and I didn't know whether that was your brother.
No, he's in California, another insurance guy. I couldn't find something else to do.
Boy, a lot of Mike Fahey's running around the world. How long have you been in Oregon, sir?
Just Oregon. We just relocated about 3 months ago.
Okay.
Prior to that, I lived in Oregon for 10 years, went to WASC, and started with State Farm when it was headquartered here, and then moved to Washington, then to Anchorage, and now back to this area. So I spent about 10 years in Oregon total.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. We appreciate your willingness to serve on this board.
Thank you.
Anybody else wishing to testify on Mr. Fahey's appointment to the Electrical and Elevator Board? No volunteers. We're going to close that public hearing. Do we need to do our 231? Okay. All right. Mr. DeWolf, do you want to come forward and we'll do Construction Contractors Board, open the public hearing, and Ms. Nielsen, if you'd get Ms. Stern on the phone, Commissioner Stern, we'd be most appreciative. Thank you. Thanks for your patience. We were holding you for a reason. We want to do the two of you together. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you'd like to serve on the Construction Contractors Board.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senators. My name is Richard DeWolf. I'm an Oregonian for 13 years. I live in Portland and have a company. It's called Arcaform. When I created the company 10 years ago, I set out three goals, personal goals, business goals for myself, one of them being treating my employees with the greatest respect possible. And in 2006, we were rated as one of the 100 best companies in Oregon.
Wow.
The other part is to serve the environment. In 2004, we were rated as Portland's best company for environmentally sustainable businesses and waste reduction for the construction industry. And the third part was to benefit my my consumers and my clients as best as I can, and that's the position I'm in now, is to, with my experience in the construction industry and the great experiences I've had with my customers, is to be able to meld the two together and work in a consumer position.
Great. Questions? Not a soul. Oh, okay. Well, I know that Commissioner Stern had a commission hearing, so let's give her a few minutes. Mr. DeWolf, I don't think, does anybody have any questions? I think you're off the hook. Thank you very much. We really appreciate your willingness to join us today. I hope
it
looks like the weather's clear as you head back to Portland, and we look forward to working with you. And if you have any concerns or questions, feel free to give us a call. Or Ms. Doss-Grand is in the back of the room, and I'm sure she's happy to help you out as well. So thank you very much. Okay. All right. Let's go to the Board of Accountancy, Mr. Eric Lins.
Patricia, are you calling?
Will you call Mr. Lynn for me, please?
Yeah, we'll go to, let me get Ms. Ray out of the room so she can get on to more important things.
Mr. Land?
Yes.
Hi, this is Kate Brown, Chair of your State Senate Rules Committee. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
I'd like to say we have a full audience, but you're at the tail end, and we've lost most of our committee watchers this afternoon, but you are being piped throughout the Capitol, so your words are being recorded for posterity. I have in front of me Senator Betsy Johnson, Senator Ted Ferrioli, myself, and Senator Mona Sanderson. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you'd like to serve on this particular Board of Accountancy?
Sure, Madam Chair and members of the committee. As you know, I'm from Eugene, and it's an honor to be considered for this position. I'm very interested, and I was invited to apply. And the most intriguing thing to me is the role as described to me seems to be a pretty good fit with the type of work that I do, and part of a public that relies upon reliable information from CPAs, and so I deal with CPAs and business owners on a routine daily basis.
Great. Questions? The joy about being at the end of the day is that people have all been questioned out. So
I love it. They've been worn down.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your willingness to serve on this board and holding those accountants to the very highest standards. And the governor's office will keep you informed as to the status of your appointment.
That's great. I'm excited about it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Probably wasn't a good time to mention the Ducks Beavers game. Okay. Let's do, Ms. Nielsen, let's do if we can get Ms. Webby on the phone. And Senator Atkinson at the same time. Aha! Did you just get here?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No, we've got a few more.
Yeah.
Have a seat. Does it take you like 8 hours?
No, it's actually arranged quite good.
Oh.
I got it with the doctors.
Oh, okay, good, good. I was worried that you'd been sitting in traffic for 8 hours. Okay, good.
So it's no
worries.
But neither, okay.
No, no, no.
Good. Well, welcome. It's good to see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did
you guys have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah. I was having trouble with my hip. I thought I was going to have to have another hip replacement.
Oh, no.
But no.
Good.
Just a bad back.
We're pulling up Bob Levin, who must be paying your constituents.
Yeah.
Bobby, they're close by Bobby, and Sarah Atkinson wanted to testify on her behalf.
Sure, sure.
He was born in the past, so he must have a week. That's my
building that kind of relationship.
I've highlighted everything you can still have.
Okay.
Hello?
Senator Atkinson?
Senator Brown?
Oh, it's so good to hear your cheery voice.
Good evening to everyone.
We wish you were here to join us. Is Ms. Levy on the phone as well?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. For your information, we actually don't have a room full of folks because we're at the tail end, but you are being piped throughout the Capitol and your words are being recorded for some sort of posterity.
Okay.
A good Senator Johnson's here, Senator Farioli, Senator Nelson, who I think you know, and Senator Montessi Anderson, and you probably know that Senator Atkinson is on the phone.
Hi.
Oh, she does know you. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you would like to serve on the Fish and Wildlife Commission?
Sure. I'm a mother, a wife of a rancher, farmer, grandmother of six children. I'm an educator. I have two master's degrees, one in business and one in education. And I guess the main thing reason I want to serve is because I want to preserve something of what I've been able to enjoy my whole life for my grandchildren, and that's hunting and fishing and wildlife resources and the ability to go see wild animals, not in the zoo. And I think I bring some diversity to the commission because of the fact that I come from the rural area and I've had the opportunity to see all these things.
Great. This particular commission has been, I don't know that it's been controversial, but they certainly tackle some controversial issues. Do you feel comfortable that you'll be able to look at both sides and be able to make a good decision?
Yes, I do. My purpose or main goal for the whole thing is to try to find some consensus for everybody and to learn as I go, and I hope as I get more up to speed on all the issues and stuff and meet all of the people that are involved in all the different interest groups that are involved, that speaking with all the people that know, so to speak, you know, the things that go on and different sides of every issue, that when it comes to making some sort of a decision, it can be an informed and educated decision and not something that's based on emotion.
Right. Questions from the committee? Senator Nelson, nothing? Okay. Senator Farioli?
I'm interested in what Senator Atkinson might have.
Okay. Senator Johnson?
Okay.
Yeah. Senator Atkinson, would you like to ask any questions or make any comments?
Oh, well, sure. The main purpose of me calling in was to support this nomination. I think that Bobby Levy is being far too humble, and I thought that she would be, and so I would hope that I could add some comments that are a little bit more braggadocious about who will actually have an opportunity to put on the board. I've known this family for about 10 years, and I've known them having little to do with politics and having everything to do with fish and wildlife. And I can attest, I think with quite a bit of experience, that Bobby really is a wonderful mediator and really has a long-term perspective on conservation issues that I think are a tremendous asset to this board. I can think of years and years and years of talking about the balancing act between farming, ranching, habitat, elk populations, bird populations, and certainly fish. So I think that that Bobby Levy actually is going to add something really wonderful to this board, which is namely not only her ability to mediate, but also her ability just to be a real strong presence on the board and to have a real long-term perspective on these issues. So when I found out actually that this hearing was taking place today, I got the call. And I was actually chasing fish myself. So, before I actually made inquiries to this nomination, I actually put several calls into friends in Northeastern Oregon to see exactly what's happening in fish and wildlife. There's big issues that face us. There's big issues that face the health of not only the economy, but also the species. And I think she'd just make a fantastic candidate. So I really hope that the Rules Committee sends her forward, and I'll be working Thursday on the floor to make sure that she's confirmed.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Make me feel like a saint.
I just want to say, we probably need one on this commission. So and I have to tell you, your appointment met with universal acclaim. So, Senator Montes Anderson, go ahead.
Sort of a pointed question regarding breaching of the dams. I know that's hugely controversial. Do you have any comments on that issue? Have you had anything to do with it other than just reading about it?
Well, I think the biggest concern is if breaching of the dams, it falls under irrigation for ag, municipal, industrial uses, and population increase is all important. And we have sustainable growth in Oregon for the economy. So as our economy grows, more water is going to be needed. And allowing for sustainable economy and economic growth provides for healthy ecosystems. It's going to be really challenging for all of us. And along with that, we have several streams that we share in other states and counties involved as to the management issues, like the Columbia River and the Snake River system. Those involve Canada, Washington, Idaho, Montana. And the Walla Walla River, I think, runs in Oregon and Washington. And the Klamath runs into California. And so if we're going to breach dams, this has to be something that is taken into account for every constituency that's involved. And is it going to damage one more side of the spectrum more than the other? Is it going to benefit all spectrums? And if it's going to damage one spectrum over the other, how can we compensate for that? I mean, I think those are questions that we ask daily, anybody that's involved in those issues.
Thank you.
Anybody else, Johnson?
No, Chair, I just have one question I'd like to get the answer on the record just to dispel any mythology about it. Let me start with a comment. When I saw that there was an appointment to the ODF&W board, immediately I was worried that it would be fraught with criticism, and so making some initial inquiries, I found what Senator Atkinson has already referenced, and that was universal support for this nomination. One criticism that did come forward, though, and I'd like her to address it on the record so that I can be true to my word that I said I would raise it, and I think her cover letter covers it already, but I want her response, was the question about whether or not she was an active fisherman or hunter herself. And while she's very clear on the record that her family are all avid hunters and respect nature and the opportunity to go out yet and hunt, I just wanted her to address the question. She talks about going hunting and fishing as a child, but I'd like her response so we can just dispel the mythology about that.
Yeah, as a child, I fished and hunted a lot. I have had, in the past, deer hunting licenses with my husband with the great hope that someday I would go out and go hunting with him, and I have went a few times. And just like anything else, when it came, actually, my ability to shoot it was another story. I either couldn't shoot it or I wouldn't shoot it because I am not into, I guess, killing animals that much. As a kid I did it, but I don't too much as an adult. I'd like to learn how to fish again because I've been told my technique is terrible.
Well, I'm sure that Senator Atkinson would be happy to give you lessons.
He's actually the one who told me it was terrible.
Oh!
Technique notwithstanding, I think that your clear articulation that both your husband and sons are avid hunters would put to rest any question about whether or not you could fully respond to the concerns of people who are out in the woods tracking Bambi. And I just wanted to make sure that that was clear.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're all hunters. We go with them, the girls do, but none of us actually physically shooting them anymore.
Okay. Atkinson, sure.
Madam Chair, I think Bobby's being far too humble. I have to say that hunting is part of this family and conservation is part of this family is almost to paint a picture that... These are occasional hunters that maybe go out a couple times a year. This is a family who focuses the conservation efforts on all of their ranch lands towards making sure that the habitat is protected. I have never been on a hunt in northeastern Oregon without a member of her family and without Bobby in somewhere part of the clan. So I would say that she knows and can respect and understand the perspective of hunters and understand the perspective of conservationists. I'm so excited about this. I think she can do it better than anyone, honestly, because this family has got the little grandkids she's talking about. Those are the generations of Levy's that have done exactly the thing that I'm telling you that Bobby Levy will do on this commission.
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you both very much. We really appreciate you participating. Senator Atkinson, is it Levy or Levy?
Levy.
Levy, okay. The governor's office will keep you informed as your appointment, if your appointment moves through the process. And we really appreciate your time and energy and willingness to serve.
Thank you very much.
Take good care. Thanks, both of you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Okay. Mr. Humphreys, TSPC, please.
I'll tell the county folks.
She's very well versed. Does she know what a trial it's going to be to serve with the chairman of that commission?
I'm sorry, I didn't see her sitting there.
Can you pay her extra? Maybe we can pay her extra, Senator Johnson. As the TV camera moves to the profile of the chair of the Wildlife Commission. Okay. This will be our quickest one yet, I think. Who wants to carry?
I'll carry.
You'll carry? Sorry, me and carry. Are they all in two packages? Okay. All right.
We have all the appointments. No appointments.
And then all the reappointments? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Humphreys.
Yes.
Hello, my name is Kate Brown. I'm chair of your Senate Rules Committee.
Yes,
welcome to your Senate Rules Committee. We have in front of you a bevy of senators, Senator Johnson, Senator Farioli, Senator David Nelson, and Senator Lori Monas Anderson. And Senator Nelson is your state senator.
Yes, I talked to him earlier today.
But you should know he's in Salem hard at work.
Doctor's appointment.
Woo! Woo! It's impressive that your constituents know your schedule. I think what we'd like to have you do is just tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're so excited to serve on the TSPC. And if you could just be aware of the fact that you're being piped throughout the building and your words being preserved forever. So.
Okay, good. Some way to be immortal, huh?
Yes.
My name's Gary Humphreys. I'm currently a teacher in the Pendleton School District. I teach 7th and 8th grade at the school. I am, in fact, we just let out, so this is perfect timing. I have taught in the Valley for Wilsonville School District now, but it was just Westland at the time. And I've also taught here, so I've got a pretty good Valley rural area knowledge.
For the last 7 years, I've been fairly active with OEA in leadership and also in my own teacher association here with different offices. And also in the town of Pendleton, I work on people for Pendleton schools. And that was a committee throughout the Pendleton city here. This is my 23rd year, and I'm actually really excited to have an opportunity to go down and visit with the people from all over the state working on setting up requirements for our own profession and keeping integrity in our teaching profession. I also would like to be able to help my members stay out of trouble by letting them know what some of the pitfalls are and how to keep out of them.
Thank you.
Okay.
We really, I really am appreciative of anyone who can teach at the middle school, junior high level. I just, these kids are challenging.
Yes, they are. They're fun, though. Never one day the same.
I'm glad you enjoy them. Questions from the committee? Seth Arioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The question for the nominee. Should teacher competency be an issue of concern to TSPC?
In some aspects, I do believe that it's a major issue about competency. Now, if it's set up with guidelines and then go straight down the guidelines where everyone knows what the competencies are, then I do believe it's an appropriate issue. If it's not stated, not outlined, where it's not acknowledged to anyone, then I think that that's an improper move.
Any questions, Seth?
Just that in discussion with the executive director of TSPC, competency is not an issue for TSPC at the present time. So I'm interested.
I'm sorry,
can you say? Yeah, I was just saying that in discussion with the current executive director of TSPC, competency is not an issue of concern to that organization. So I'm glad to hear that this nominee would be at least open to having a discussion about whether or not competency ought to be an issue in the licensing of teachers.
That's also integrity, too, and I believe in that fully.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you. Mr. Humphries, it's 9 in Pendleton.
It just stopped. The kids went outside and it just stopped, thank goodness.
Okay.
We did have 1 inch of snow here about 9:15 when I talked to Senator Nelson.
All right. I don't think we have any more questions. We really appreciate your time and your energy and your willingness to serve on the TSPC. It's a really important commission, and appreciate that you need to travel extra distances to make that happen. So, thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Senator.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. BPSST, Chief Jordan, Ms. Nielsen, can you help us out? Two to go, guys.
I messed this up so I can never find them from the list, you know.
But they're never in order. I mean, they're never in the order that we go in.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
They're always in order.
No, it's fine. Chief Jordan. Oh, here it is. I found it. Like a lion on me.
Mm-hmm. Is this the second boy?
No, 1 inch.
Oh, that's perfect.
I don't think they're going to quit.
Your child or yours is going to quit?
I don't think so.
Oh, you think there's going to be more?
Well, of course, that's probably.
Yeah, more baby women.
More baby women.
more baby men for them to push her on.
Mary Stern. Oh, here we go.
Hello, Chief Jordan?
Yes.
Hi, Kate Brown here, Chair of the Senate Rules Committee.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We have the good Senator Johnson, the good Senator Farioli, the good Senator Dave Nelson, and the good Senator Lori Montes Anderson here as part of your Senate Rules Committee. The hearing room is basically empty because everyone's left because they, I don't know, didn't want to hear your scintillating testimony, but You are being piped throughout the Capitol, so would you please tell us a little bit about why you would like to serve on this commission and a little bit about your background?
Okay. Well, maybe my background first. I've been law enforcement for over 30 years now. Currently the chief of police in Bend, and I've held this position for about 7.5 years. And I think my career has always had a leaning towards the importance of training, and I think it's kind of exciting to have an opportunity to sit on this board with public safety standards and training. I know that the board has made huge headway, in my belief, over the last few years in terms of the training delivered to police officers in the state and to all public safety agencies. And I just feel like this opportunity would give me a chance to use some of my skills and expertise in areas of training and to bring that kind of focus to the board.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? No. Chief, you, the faces of Oregonians are truly changing. We're becoming a much more diverse state. Do you have any experience with multicultural police training, law enforcement training?
I do have some experience from my California days. I, at one point in my career, worked for the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office and part-time for the Fresno County Sheriff's Office. And both of those areas have very diverse populations, and it was very important, and this is back actually in the 70s and 80s, it was important then that officers were trained in these areas of diversity, language being one of the more challenging areas to deliver training, but it's more than just language. It's several different areas of learning the different cultures that we have in our communities, and we're being challenged in Bend with that area right now, and so although my expertise in that area certainly is not great, I've certainly been exposed to it.
Great. Thank you. I think that's all the questions of the committee. We really appreciate your willingness to serve on the BPSST, and we look forward to working with you.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for the call. And I'm sorry I didn't make it over, but I work life and limb probably today on those slick highways.
No, we're glad you're safe and sound. Thank you, Chief Jordan.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. And then Board of Tax Press, Tiction, and I can even say it, Alan Twombly from the city of Milwaukee. And any luck on getting along with Commissioner Stern? Okay, great.
Okay. All right, so split out.
Hi, Mr. Twombly. Kate Brown here, Chair of Senate Rules Committee. You've got a full complement of Senate Rules, Senator Betsy Johnson, Senator Ted Ferrioli, Senator David Nelson, and Senator Lori Moniz Anderson. The room is pretty empty at this point, but you are being piped throughout the Capitol so that we can preserve your answers forever and ever and ever.
Okay.
Would you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you'd like to serve on the Board of Tax Practitioners? Sorry, it's been a long afternoon.
No problem at all. I've been dealing with taxes in Oregon since 1998, and I both have my consultant and EA license, no business license, and I've worked with the board since probably my first year with different clients and things or situations that have arisen. I just really respect the board, and I think it would be a wonderful opportunity for me to be on the board. I work for a trip walk, and I bring a unique perspective to the board. I run a multi-office tax franchise versus the other people on the board. Most of them only have a single one or two, and I just give a different perspective
to what the board has as a compliment already.
Great. Questions from the committee? You have wowed them with your briefness and your enthusiasm. There are no questions. The governor's office will keep you apprised as your, assuming your appointment moves through the process, but we really appreciate your time and energy and willingness to serve on this board.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, with that, we'll close the public hearing on the Board of Tax Practitioners. Let's go back up. Open public hearing on the Construction Contractors Board. We're looking forward to talking to Commissioner Mary Stern.
Can we do an additional counsel?
It's a reappointment.
Okay.
And what we decided, I'm happy to revisit the sitting time, but that appointments we would bring people forward, but reappointments we would not. She asked? Great. Good work. Good detective work.
Which board are we going to?
Construction contractors.
Oh, yeah.
With Mary Stern.
Oh my gosh. Oh, did I make for 47. I'm not thinking of something. Yeah, I didn't have one yet.
Commissioner?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Kate Brown here, Chair of Senate Rules.
Hello there, Senator. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I know you're quite busy.
Yes, so are you.
We have a full complement of Senate Rules Committee, Senator Betsy Johnson, Senator Ted Ferrioli, Senator Dave Nelson, and Senator Larry Monis Anderson. And you are being piped throughout the Capitol building so that we can preserve your comments for posterity.
Wonderful.
And would you please tell us a little bit about yourself and why you would like to serve on this particular board?
Certainly. Good afternoon, honorable senators. I am Mary Stern, a Yamhill County Commissioner. And Yamhill County still has the building boom continuing here. And that's one of the reasons I'm interested in serving on this board. I first learned about the CCB over a year ago from an upset constituent, and since then have just been learning about what happens with the board and have been following the construction the task force, and basically I'd like to serve to first and foremost protect the interests of consumers, and secondly I do have a lot of supporters from many local good builders, and I believe that by holding the bad general contractors accountable, we can protect the reputations of the good general contractors. And I would also like to protect the interests of local governments. And I've been following the Barco case that occurred there in Lane County, and and I think that there are people out there who, when they're seeking recourse against builders, or because of the actions of a bad contractor, they may end up looking to what they believe are the deep pockets of city or county planning departments. So that's an interest of mine as well. And Ray Knapp of the governor's office asked me to apply for this position, and I guess if I can serve my constituents and my governor by sitting on this board, I'm happy to do so.
Thank you. I just want to point out to the committee that Commissioner Stern is fulfilling a specific slotted appointment for an elected representative of local government. So, questions for Commissioner Stern? Sarah Nelson.
Yes, and thank you. Thank you, Commissioner, for offering to serve. I appreciate your comments. Just a couple things I've been in my district. I'm from Northeast Oregon, Altamax is where I live. But I just had a constituent that's now working on about 18 months of a complaint that's coming through the construction board. And actually, the board has done a very good job, or not the board, but the process has been pretty good. It's just been time consuming. It's taken a long time to get to this point.
Right.
And the second part of that is that she got to the arbitration after the construction board ruled in her favor, and then the judge came in and basically said that the grout was inherently soft and pliable, and therefore she was at fault for and reversed the decision of the board. So I think you've got some very interesting situations that are very complex, and what, as you indicated, some unhappy constituents that actually reflect poorly upon most of the good contractors. So I really do appreciate your comments concerning that. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Other comments for Commissioner Stern? Senator Farioli and then Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Stern, there's been a number of folks who have gone online to the website to check the credentials or to at least see if there's been any complaints filed with the contractors board, and ostensibly found a clean bill of health, only later to find out there's been a long record of complaints that weren't current in the records of the organization. I just wondered if you had heard of that, or would you be willing to help hold accountable the institution for timely reporting of complaints and accuracy?
That was really my angry constituent. I think what the board had told him was that he would need a judgment from a court in order for the complaint to be logged online, and I guess that is in their rules that it must be a judgment, so it can't just be a complaint. So it took the board quite a long time to get the information on the website after my constituent got a $375,000 judgment against the contractor. So I think there are a couple issues that we can look at the rules and see if there's a way that, you know, regular complaints could be put up online, and or at the very least that any judgments that are received, that those get online as soon as possible.
Senator Johnson.
That answer just made my heart sing. I think we've all had constituent issues. What I want to talk about are some remarks that you made in your opening statement, and that was about holding the bad actors accountable. Those are my words, not yours. And I want to talk a little bit about enforcement. I just had the opportunity to go up and speak with a bunch of home builders in my district, and they are very frustrated about the lack of enforcement. And I wondered if you could make any comments about your opinion of reprioritizing some of the agency's spending or asking for additional funds or anything else that would make realistic enforcement a possibility. Because you can have all the rules you want on the books, but if nobody's out in the field enforcing it, it doesn't matter very much.
And I think that's one of the problems, Senator. I agree with you. And looking at how this board is funded maybe is part of what we will need to be looking at here, where it will certainly take the help of the legislature, because it's not funded so that there can be a lot of enforcement. And, you know, we have an electrical inspector and our planning director who went and provided testimony to the construction task force and talked about the issues in local government and you know, perhaps this could be aligned more like electrical inspections or somewhere where there is true enforcement. So with the funds available to provide that enforcement, with fines that can be collected quickly and it's not a long drawn out process. So I think there are a lot of issues that we can look at to make improvements, and I hope to do that using not just my electrical inspector and building planning and building director, but also those from across the state, as well as builders, the good builders across the state who really want there to be enforcement out there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Stern. I don't think we have any further questions. We really appreciate your thoughtfulness and interest in serving. This board has really struggled, and we really appreciate your willingness to tackle some of these issues. So I think we all have constituents that have dealt with this particular board. So We look forward to working with you.
No, I look forward to working with all of you. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much, and the governor's office will keep you apprised regarding the status of your appointment.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Have a nice afternoon.
You too. All right. Let's see.
No, so you don't have to.
Okay.
Okay,
I'm going to kind of cruise through these pretty quickly. I would like to do the appointments in block and then the reappointments in block. I know that there's some issues in your caucus with some of the members, so I'll give the appointments to Senator Modest Anderson and the reappointments to Senator Nelson. Unless there's an issue, let us know. Okay?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
That sound okay?
Yes, it does.
All right, everybody okay with that? I'm just going to rule, unless anybody wants to do this and thinks they can do it faster. No. Okay. All right. We're going to close the public hearing, open a work session on the Board of Accountancy. I move the appointment of Eric Lynn to the Board of Accountancy to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any further discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. All right. Close the work session on the Board of Accountancy. Open the work session on the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. I move the appointment of Dr. Koch to the State Board of Chiropractic Examiners to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Close the work session. Opening a work session on the Columbia River Gorge Commission. I move the appointment of Lonnie Macy to the Columbia River Gorge Commission to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Close the work session. Open a work session on the appointments to the Construction Contractor Board. I move the appointments of D. Wolf, and Mary Stern to the Construction Contractors Board to the Senate Board for the recommendation that the appointments be confirmed and block. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Close the work session on the Construction Contractor Board. Open a work session on the Electrical and Elevator Board and move the appointment and reappointment of James Fahey to the Electrical and Elevator Board to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Close the work session. Open a work session on the Fair Dismissals Appeals Board, and I would move the appointments of Jeff Coleman, John Lujan, and Leonard Thiessen. And the reappointment of Leonard Thiessen to the Fair Dismissals Appeal Board to the Senate floor with the recommendation the appointments be confirmed and block. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Close the work session on Coleman, Lujan, and Thiessen. Open a work session on Barbara Levy open a work session on the State Fish and Wildlife Commission and move the appointment of Barbara Levy to the State Fish and Wildlife Commission with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed on the Senate floor. Any discussion? Objection? So ordered. Close the work session on Ms. Levy. Open a public hearing on the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. Open a work session on the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. I would move the appointment of Lily Caceres to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Close the work session on Lily Caceres. Open a work session on the Home Care Commission, and I will move the appointment of Joe Easton to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Appointment and reappointment of Joe Easton. Are you sure? Mm-hmm. Okay. Appointment and reappointment of Joe Easton to the Home Care Commission with the recommendation that the appointment and reappointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Let's close the work session on Joe Easton. Open a work session on the appointments of Michael Dubik and Gregory Evans to the Lane County Mass Transit Board, District Board, and I would move that they move to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointments be confirmed in block. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Close the work session on Dubik and Evans. Open a work session on the appointment of Yi Kang Hu to the Board of Naturopathic Examiners, and I would move that he go to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. That was a really talented young man that we had in front of us. I don't know if you folks read his resume. All right. Close the work session on Yi Kang Hu. Open a work session on the Board of Nursing. I would move the appointment of Rebecca Erbelau to the Oregon State Board of Nursing to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered, close the work session on Rebecca Urbelow. Open the work session on the Outdoor Youth Program Advisory Board, and I will move the appointment of Gordon Hickey to the above board to the Senate floor with a recommendation the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Not. So ordered. Let's close the work session on Gordon Hickey. Opening a work session on the Juvenile Psychiatric Security Review Board. I would move the appointments of Susana Alba, Ray Burley, Eric Johnson, Robert McKelvey, and Charmaine Roberts to the Psychiatric Security Review Board to the Senate floor with the recommendation that appointments be confirmed in black. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered, close the work session on the Psychiatric Security Review Board. Open a work session on the Board of Public on Public Safety Standards and Training, and move the appointment of Andrew Johnson to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. And the appointment. Okay. Further discussion? Any objection? So ordered, let's close the work session on Mr. Jordan. So closed. Let's open the work session on the Quality Education Commission, and I would move the appointment of Vic Backlund to the Senate floor with a recommendation that the appointment to the Quality Education Commission be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Let's close the work session on Vic Backlund. Open a work session on Mr. Alan Twombly. I move the appointment of Mr. Alan Twombly to the State Board of Tax Practitioners. Move it to the Senate floor with the recommendation for the appointment to the State Board of Tax Practitioners be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Close the work session on Mr. Twombly. Open a work session on the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. I would move the appointment of Gary Humphreys to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Let's close the work session on Mr. Humphreys. All right. I'm opening a work session for the consideration of the appointments of the following boards and commissions. Oregon Board of Accountancy, Oregon Investment Board, Board of Naturopathic Examiners, Oregon State Board of Nursing, Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. I would move that the appearances be waived and that the following appointments and reappointments be moved to the Senate floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed in block. The reappointment of James Gaffney to the Oregon Board of Accountancy. The reappointment of Katie Durant to the Oregon Investment Council. The reappointment of Karen Elizabeth Edmiston to the Board of Naturopathic Examiners. The reappointment of Amoy Williamson to the Oregon State Board of Nursing. The reappointment of Mary Lou Pickard to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. Any discussion on those reappointments? Any objection to those reappointments? Not. So ordered. Close the work session on the previously stated boards. If I could get Senator Montes Anderson to carry the appointments en bloc, and Senator Nelson to carry the reappointments en bloc, unless we have, you know, if you have any concerns, let us know. That's all right to everybody? Anything further come before the committees? We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules and staff very early. We are so happy for you.
Thank you.
It's very exciting. And please travel safely. We don't know what the roads. Do we have any update on roads from anyone? No updates. Okay. Well, travel safely. And Madam Shadow, thanks for joining us. I hope it was instructive.
It was. Thank you for
Are you going to be able to join us on the Senate floor on Thursday?
I have class that day.
Oh, shoot.
Yes. Full load, so.
Okay.
Unfortunately not. But
someday I'll watch it on the internet or something.
No, no, no.
Someday you're going to be sitting on the Senate floor and you'll be voting.
That is true.
Voting, at least. On that happy note, I guess we're adjourned. I would, for a bit of trivia note, that this is Ms. Taylor's 47th in our committee meeting, so we are certainly getting our taxpayer dollars worth out of her. Ms. Nielsen, I know, is up in the, it's the library, but I was trying to think what they call the turret, hidden away with the books, so we will be seeing her as frequently during when session starts. So enjoy, everybody, and travel safely. Thank you.